There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, put your mittens on your kittens, and away we go. Welcome to Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along, and good to hear from you at 251-343-0106. For a call or a text, same number, 251-343-0106. Plus, you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app and use that to send us a talkback message. In addition, just like we're visiting with one of y'all, a very cool listener who was in here earlier, was talking about using the app as he travels around the country. You can take the station with you wherever you go, and we appreciate that as well. All right, coming up in just about 20 minutes or so, April Marie Fogel joins us. We'll talk with her. A couple of the stories here that we probably might get to before she gets on, but for sure when she gets on. Story right now, you can check it out several places looking at it. Scott Johnson's story over at Landyap. Tuberville releases tax returns. Remember I was saying yesterday, I've been saying for a while, Tuberville's going to be governor. I'm good. I'm happy with that. I do want to have these just like the questions answered. Like, don't leave them up there in the air. And it looks like we have some information now that makes sense. We have some definitive information about residency, so we'll get to that in just a little bit. Before, and the polling you've heard discussed about Hudson leading Moore in the Senate runoff poll, get to that. But let's get to a couple stories that stood out to me as good old-fashioned talk radio stories. Okay, one international, one local. The one local one, this is the kind of story, and I've been doing this for a long time, these are the kind of stories that are apple pie. It's home cooking. And that is the story about the scooters, right? We mentioned last week. Now, it's I think it was Thursday we were talking about that they were going to look into this at the Mobile City Council meeting about rules surrounding the Lime scooters. This is like I don't know of anybody who doesn't have an opinion on this. A lot of times we'll be in on a subject here. People are like, hey, man, I'm out of my league on that. I don't know. Or with like to scoot or not to scoot. If you spend any time in downtown Mobile, people have opinions. John Sharp gives us the details here at AL.com about what's happening here. The new rules coming in for the scooters and expansion of these electric things beyond scooters. Okay, so he starts off the story. He said electric scooters have become part of downtown Mobile for 8 years. Many of the early concerns about their use remain. Among those concerns, teenagers riding along Dolphin Street. Ding. I would argue that sometimes people that aren't teenagers, older than that, riding along Dolphin Street. I have been one of those before. Scooters on sidewalks. Yep. And it says devices left in piles outside churches and businesses. Or just wherever. I should have kept that'd be a fun project. You have a little extra time. Maybe you drive for a living. You have some way to hit like a hands-free, don't do anything you shouldn't do. But like confirm a slung down, and that's the proper term, a slung down e-scooter when you see it. Because I've seen them in some wild places around town. And you could just do it and do like a map. You can go on like, where's the wildest place you've seen a Lime scooter? Well, John goes on to say, despite those issues, Mobile is moving forward with a new 3-year contract with Neutron Holdings Incorporated, which, by the way, had to be ripped from a comic book. I mean, if I got my superhero going up against, you know, the bad guys, their cover company, right, is Neutron Holdings Incorporated. We really know that Neutron Holdings Incorporated is a Dr. Bad Guy, but it's called, not saying Lyme's bad, but Neutron Holdings Incorporated, that's the operator of Lyme, the city's e-scooter provider. The agreement expected to be approved today by the Mobile City Council, and I think it's been done by now, is to expand the Lyme scooters and integrate the system into Mobile's evolving public transit network, which has become one of Mayor Spiro Chiarigatis's early priorities. Quote from him, he said, "This gives us the opportunity to take what we have built over the last 3 years and grow everything in a more meaningful and positive way. So the Lyme experience in Mobile is mostly positive." Oh, I'm sorry, that was Jacob Lawrence. That wasn't the mayor. That was Jacob Lawrence, Deputy Director of Administrative Services. And said, we want to be 100% positive. Of course, we recognize every system we build has potential issues we have to address. All right, so the things that stood out to me is a e-bike system, and you know I love my e-bike, but a new e-bike system will be incorporated alongside the scooters. So we've got scooters, and we got e-bikes, and then we have these other things I got to get to, like sit-down scooters. Said, city currently has about 550 e-scooters downtown. Wow, I didn't realize. I would have missed that question, how many. A number that will remain steady under the new contract, an additional 15 to 30 seated scooters. Is that like a... Are we talking about a go-kart? Are we talking about an electric go-kart here? You don't see the go-karts like you used to when I was a kid. Says an additional... So you'll keep the number of scooters to stand on top, but the sit-ins... 15 to 30 seated scooters will be added at bus stops, and the e-bikes will be placed in city parks later this year, so they can all be slung around, too. So the seated scooters, what could go wrong with this? The seated scooters are expected to arrive within 30 days, coinciding with the rollout of Mobile's new transit operation system administered by New York-based Via Transportation System will replace the Wave Bus Network. We know that. New system branded Second Line Transit back in April. So here's what we got. So we'll keep the scooters. We'll have some e-bikes. Cool. And we'll have the sit-in scooters. I don't know. Are they side-by-side? I mean, can you take a friend on these things? The other question that came up, and this is we talked about last week, is that some, John Story said, some changes are already visible downtown. After Mardi Gras, Lyme reduced maximum scooter speeds from 12 miles an hour to 8 miles an hour. Within 30 days, the city will also implement a virtual corralling system requiring riders to park their scooters in designated zones before ending their trip. Can we go back to the miles per hour here for a second? I don't know if scooter is going to be, it's going to be pretty much like a bike. There's a certain, and somebody could probably Google this and give me the answer, a certain miles per hour before you, and I'll use a technical term from the physics department here, before you tump over, right? If you go too slowly, unless you're a master of balance, you'll tump over. So it went from 12 to 8. How close are we to the tump threshold on that? Can somebody research this? So yeah, and there's a lot more to this about the Lyme scooters, but I thought this is a good old-fashioned classic talk radio story here. By the way, the franchise agreement, too, and I heard Dan and Dalton talk about it this morning. This was surprising. I thought it would be more money. Franchise agreement is expected to generate additional revenues for the city, approximately $18,000 to $20,000 annually. City also receives $5,000 a year in a franchise fee. So even by, you know, communication majors math, that's could be up to $25,000. With a fleet expansion, they expect more annual revenue. So there. Oh, yeah, Haywood said the sit-down might equal, like, the Little Rascal. And somebody sees a scooter, think about a Vespa scooter. Do they have a sidecar on these things? All right, we come back to your text in a second here, and way more from the international front, too. There's people getting lost in caves again. Must be summertime in Southeast Asia.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. April Marie Fogel coming up in just a little bit. And in hour number two, I saw a story about this guy yesterday and hollered at him, and he's going to come on with us. Dr. James Arruda. He's out of the University of West Florida. And for a lot of y'all, just for interest's sake, and for a lot of y'all, it will hit home for our families out there. He has developed an early Alzheimer's detection test. And any of y'all that have lived with this and what it does to people, it's tough. And a test that can, something he's been working on for like three decades. It's non-invasive, and it's a test to see if you're going to get or you're likely to get Alzheimer's disease. It's really interesting. So we're going to talk to him at the 1 o'clock hour. I was like, good on you, man, for doing that. All right, to the text line here. Yes, Michael says, the hordes of 10-year-olds roaming Broad Street riding scooters on Joe Kane Day was definitely worrisome. Yes, and I think statute of limitations has run. There's been I don't know if it was Joe Kane or a Fat Tuesday, where I myself and some other idiots decided we should get on them and ride them as well. Well, we didn't bother people, but it's surprising that none of us had to take a trip to the first aid or go to the emergency room for some orthopedic work. We all survived it. Also, Michael said, do you think Fauci has him looking for bats again in Southeast Asia for his next pandemic? We'll get to the Southeast Asia stuff because it's cliche is diminutive, so I don't want to do that. But people getting stuck in a cave in Southeast Asia is like it's a brand, right? Let's see. Squirrelverine, I'm rather surprised that Mobile hasn't had a drive-by scooting shooting. This is a good point. I think you'd have to dismount, right? So you'd have to dismount. Kind of what happened to the Texas Rangers early on fighting the Comanches. We'll get to that in a second. But with the scooter, right, Squirrelverine, you would have to stop. I guess you could. The dirtbags, what does my man John call them? The urban terrorists. They like to, you know, shoot all the innocent people while trying to shoot the other person they have beef with. I guess they don't worry about accuracy, so maybe they could, you know, drive the scooter one-handed, shoot with the other. But it might be a dismount thing. Now, if we have the seated scooters, you're right, Squirrelverine, there's a whole other issue there. So we're getting 15 to 30 of the seated electric scooters to go around town. So I don't know if they look like a go-kart, what they are. The Texas Rangers, pretty interesting. I mean, don't have time today, maybe in the second hour, but talk about that guy, that Colt kid making pistols in the Northeast that end up letting the Texas Rangers win over the Comanches. Even the Rangers, were getting their butts kicked by the Comanches and fighting in Texas, right? They would confront Comanches and they would dismount. The Rangers would dismount and go to shoulder their rifles and shoot. Whole time the Comanches are on horseback, amazing horsemen, and would just light up the Texas Rangers, because they shoot one at a time, dismounted. Comanches are moving. The Rangers are standing still. Well, they reached out and got the hottest new military technology. We think about all the stuff now, drones and all that that we deal with now. But back then, it was this pistol that repeated, this Colt kid made. And that let the Rangers stay on horseback and shoot from horseback, just like the Comanches were. And it was the beginning of the end for the Comanches in West Texas. So there's pretty interesting, Gabby. You think about, we're talking about drones today and that technology and what these things mean for warfare. And every war has a situation where you start the war. World War One, one I like to talk about a lot. They started that war with true mounted cavalry with sabers. And everything was brought in by horses, even your cannons, everything towed by horses through the mud of Western Europe there. You had basically technology that had been in existence for decades. By the end of World War One, you're using chemical weapons, using tanks and planes. Think about that change from guys mounted cavalry with a saber going into the war and coming out of the war with planes and tanks and all that. But situation with in Texas. It wasn't as extreme, but it was the repeating pistol that had them win that. So, you know, Scorverine, I don't know. Maybe some of these, they could stay mounted on the scooter while they shot. I'm not sure. Let's see, Jason, how long before we see these seated scooter contraptions sitting at red lights? And are these required to be tagged and insured like we are? I don't know, man. So bound to be runaways like we've seen with the Walmart carts on Airport Boulevard just seems like unnecessary risk and BS to me. Well, I don't know if they can get them out of the, do they shut down when they get them out of whatever the geofence is? Second day with geofence in the discussion. Day two of geofence talk. Welcome back. And I don't know if they're insured. I don't know with the insurance. I don't know. But will they be putting them on the street? Probably, because they're not supposed to be on the sidewalk, right? I mean, it wouldn't be any different than, you could say out by my house, out the country, we see a lot of ATVs and UTVs on the road, which you should not do, even riding down the side of the road. Don't do it. Or the fact that, I pointed out one day I walked in here to do the show. I said, hey, I was just back from of turning off Florida onto Spring Hill. And I was behind a guy in like a Yamaha Moto 4. Just traveling with traffic, like waiting for the light and everything. Motorman said, I would like to tell my wife, Squirrel, a happy anniversary, 8 long years. Okay, there you go. The message has been carried. All right, we mentioned the cave rescue thing. You just heard that on the, if you were listening for the national news, international news that runs at the beginning and middle way through the hour. Said rescue workers searching flooded caves in Laos reported hearing a knocking sound from inside the system as they sought to extricate two people who had been missing for nearly 2 weeks. It's a long time to be down there. A group of seven villagers entered the caves on May 19th to search for gold, but were trapped by flash flooding following heavy rain. Doesn't this happen every time an Asian, they go in the cave and then the water comes up, right? So the five villagers were rescued last week, one of whom was taught to scuba dive in order to make his way to the mouth of the cave. The rescue team was able to pump enough water out of the system for four more people to crawl out on their own. It was something, back early 1980s when I learned at Gulf Coast Divers to scuba dive. I can't imagine doing it in a pitch black cave. I guess they wouldn't have to do their dive table, so they would probably had to worry about their bottom time on them. Said rescuers are now exploring a sixth chamber where the remaining two men might be located, with one of the coordinators reporting post to Facebook that workers heard a knocking sound seemingly responding back to their own knocks. So we still have some, we have the drama, we have some out and some still in there, at least two. All right. Which reminds me of the Tham Luang cave rescue. What was that 2018? Remember when he had for some reason, like a soccer team or something they put down? I don't know why they were in the cave. But it was like some kind of sports team or something like that. They decided to go in the cave. And then, the same deal, right? It was flooding and they couldn't get out. And remember all the talk about, hey, we're going to have like a specialized submarine go get them. And it ended up being scuba divers went in there, I think, to get them. But remember all the conversations of what they could do, and remember they brought all these people in to. It's Southeast Asian cave getting stuck season. So some things are perennial out there. Backstrap stacker, seated scooter, like somebody, I think it was Haywood said it earlier. Seated scooters like a Little Rascal or Walmart mobility scooter for the biggins. If you're too big for the regular stand-up scooter, you should just stay at home. Okay, thank you. Ella said the soccer team was on a camping trip. Okay, so it was a soccer team. But they were in the cave. You get the latest thing is they're going for the gold. Not like a medal, but like actual gold. And then water comes up. It's like a formula, right? You go in there and the water comes up. Said, I used to like going to DeSoto Caverns. Haven't been since 1991. I wonder how often somebody has to be rescued from the maze outside of it. I don't know. We could talk about. We've got some cool caves in Alabama. Really cool. We could probably do that on the show one day. Some awesome ones, too. Just big, giant ones. All right, coming back right after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So 1235 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. All right, guest host in residence, which, by the way, I got to ask her about some guest hosting, and read her work at 1819news.com. It's April Marie Fogel, and the crowd goes wild. Hey.
Woohoo. Good morning. I guess good afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's afternoon. I don't know where you're pacing in your day, but to me, it's afternoon.
I filled in on the 9 to noon show in Montgomery. And so, you know, if you, you know how radio time, like time, I'm discombobulated with what's going on outside the world. I've just been in a 3-hour conversation, right? So
right.
I'm feeling like my day's just starting.
Okay. Well, we'll get it started here with you on this. Let's go to the story that is has a lot of people talking here. And I'm happy. Funny, I said this yesterday, too, that there's a... I was interested in the questions around Senator Tuberville's residency because questions came up. I wanted them answered. I believe he's going to be governor. Right. I support it. The problem is, you know, if I questioned it, people are like, oh, you're coming from the left. And I'm like, no, there are people coming from the left that just want him not to be governor. I'm just a nerd enough that I want to know that, okay, we got rules. You obey the rules, right? I mean, just show me. Well, I guess I don't know why he didn't do it earlier, but I think he put that thing to bed with that tax return thing last night.
Exactly. I think he did. I think here's the thing is, and I guess my thing with the whole tax returns is if a credible person had been, if a credible person had been asking, that would be different. But if someone's cuckoo bananas and then they ask a serious question, I'm still not going to take their serious question seriously. And so it didn't seem like there was a mainstream, you know, show me your tax returns. And, you know, now he has, and the same people will find something else to whine about. The people who were never going to vote for Tuberville anyway.
Right. And those, correct. And they'll find something else. But for me, somebody who was like, I'm cool with it being governor. I just wanted to know that the rules were upheld.
You wanted to trust but verify.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, and he, I don't know why the timing on this, too. I know you say the cuckoo stuff, but he was on, I was filled in on the morning show last week, and he was on with Dan and I, and said something to the effect of, do you think, he said, he told a reporter or somebody, do you think I'm stupid? And if you don't, then why do you think, would you think that I would run for this office when I don't have the, you know, I don't have the residency requirements? And I get that, and that's it's a great zinger and all that stuff, but I'm still, at that point, was like, okay, why didn't this come out earlier? And by the way, before y'all go clicking through it, it's all redacted. You can't see how much. That's probably why everybody goes to it. How much did he make? You're not going to see how much he made. But why didn't he just do this early on and say, hey, here's my tax returns. Y'all shut up.
It goes back to, I think it was like, well, who's asking him why? And I mean, you got to keep in mind that the people who are really pushing this narrative of, you know, oh, he doesn't really live here, or oh, someone's trying to pull a fast one, those are the same people who were like looking up his Carfax and invading his privacy and just being weird, like weird. And so, so there's different, and this is what I learned this morning. I had John Wall on radio with me in Montgomery, and there are different, you know, ways of the process, parts of the process in terms of challenges. And he had previously, they voted not to take him off the ballot or not to challenge his ballot. But now that's a pre-election challenge. Now this is a post-election challenge, which is a little different. And so that's this. And I suppose they knew that they would eventually, and I think they just weren't giving the people the satisfaction, which I kind of respect about them.
Okay. I see that. I mean, but trolling is one thing, but it's at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I'd have put it to bed right away and said, hey, we got more important stuff to talk about for the state of Alabama. Here's my tax return. All right, y'all shut up. Next question.
Right. And whereas I took the position of, he wasn't entertaining this false narrative, and yeah, that's that.
Okay. So so it's all done? Other than, people will come up with anything, but to me, it's done. Now that's off my list of things to check.
Right. So, you're probably the first person I know outside of a bunch of Cuckoo Bananas people that really was like, yeah, let's go ahead and see him. I think everybody else was like, he's not going to run if he doesn't meet the requirement.
Yeah, but at the same time, I could play that game. I could play that game and like, you could feign that way. I'm not saying he would, but you could be like, of course. I mean, why would I do this if it wouldn't, you know, you could use that as a feign and people could assume like, well, I assume that he's got it all done. I just wanted to just answer the question. I mean, it was, you know, I'm happy that it's that way and he could be governor, but if that makes me cuckoo banana, I do that for no matter what party. I mean, if there's a question or even local stuff here, like, just give me the answer. Where you're resident.
Yeah, and this is a little different, not comparing apples to apples here, but I think this has, and maybe I'm just skeptical because I've seen people go through this, friends go through this that are elected officials or running for office where they're asked to prove something that's very clear, very obvious. And so, I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the whole, I took him at his word. I took the fact that everyone around him knew and they weren't going to risk Doug Jones becoming governor on a technicality of some sort.
And that was what I had worried about, right? That's what I was worried about, it being like, if this is true, holy crap, you know, that this could be undone by, you know, something about residency. So I feel a lot better now that it's put to bed. That's just where I am.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, you had written a text to me, and this is going to be fun. Y'all enjoy this because there's times when April Marie brings these subjects up, and I'm just ignorant to them. I do know that Spencer Pratt is a candidate for the mayor of L.A., but
yeah,
and I the politics part of it, and you know how bad of a mayor Bass has been, and all that. And but it's all based on, he was a television star. I've never watched a show. I don't even know what shows he was in. I just know it's a thing that he was in on TV before he ran for, what show would I have seen him in?
It was I want to say a reality show, but like a series of reality shows, right? From what I understand, and most famous, and I believe it was The O.C., is that right?
You tell me.
Oh, I'm sorry, The Hills. I said The Hills, O.C., sorry. The Hills. So in 2007, he was dating a character from The O.C. He was kind of like the bad boy jerk of the show. He then later did, you know how they sometimes do like, they'll do other spinoff or other shows?
Sure.
He was on that, and then he was on like a season, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. He did Celebrity Big Brother. He did, he had a memoir, The Guy You Love to Hate. He was a TV show, the Confessions of a reality TV villain. And so he was kind of like the just a jerky guy. But keep in mind,
was that a character?
It was a character. Yeah. It was an well-edited character. But what he's done in the last, 2 months in terms of talking about, seriously, he just walks around L.A. and points out actual problems.
That's the things I've seen. So I see those. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And everybody's like, yeah, that's, you know, he's this TV star. I'm like, well, I don't get that part, but I see the new stuff.
Yeah. And so what's funny to me, and look, what is going to happen is there's 14 candidates in the race.
Jungle primary.
And so it'll go to a runoff, and it's expected to be, Polly Market, for what that's worth, has a 78% chance it goes to him and Karen Bass.
Oh, in a runoff. Okay.
In a runoff. And it really does pit, like, what do you want out of this city? Like, voters... How do you turn out and be like, I'm going to vote for the chick who, you know, is partially responsible for us not having adequate fire response resources. I'm going to vote for the chick who's given drug addicts just, you know, drugs and needles, and God knows how much money to NGOs to deal with homelessness while homelessness has gotten worse. Like, how do you wake up on election day and be like, I want more of what I have to see as I get to the polls? You drive to the polls and you see your city's a hot mess and you're like, I'm going to vote for more of this.
Yeah, I think what's good here, too, for Mobile, we are, you know, here not nonpartisan for mayoral, right? No party identification.
Yeah, and they're nonpartisan as well.
And I think that hopefully could help somebody like Pratt win or somebody other than Bass win, because it's not about getting out Democrat votes or getting out, like you just said, whether you're in Whereverville, America, or you're in Los Angeles, doing the, hey, doesn't this road stink? You know, isn't this a horrible thing over here? Will we ever get this project, you know, solved? Do you want, you know, you want a homeless encampment right next to you? Do you want people doing drugs? That's not Democrat or Republican. That's just common sense.
Right. And the people who are opposed to him, it's funny because, you know, a handful of celebrities have come out and been like, no, not a reality TV guy. I'm like, how about no, not the woman who's already made this place a poop hole?
Yeah. Like, well, the Palisades fire, I guess he lost his house with that. I mean, that's got to be, you talk about mismanagement. I mean, that one.
Absolutely.
But can you imagine having that, like you're in Birmingham, if there was something like that that was just so mishandled, you could use that as a cudgel. I mean, whoever's the, there's no strength in incumbency if the incumbent had something like that on their watch.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, the fact that she's expected to be voted back in, she's the favorite, really has me questioning again. Every now and again, we look at California and we're like, do we need them? Do we really? Are we going to just pretend they're okay over there? I'm okay with building a wall and walling off California.
Yeah,
give me wine country. Give me wine country and call it done.
Now, here's the thing. I hear this, you know, as an Alabama guy, but I spend some time in California. People say, man, I wish that whole state would go away. I said, no. Now, do I wish a lot of the people would be gone from there? Yes, and they had a different kind of government. The state is beautiful. I'm an Alabama guy, but gosh darn it, California is pretty fine when you could ski, you know, and then go surf in the same day. You know, you could be in the mountains, you could be on the beach, you can go up to wine country, you can be up in the redwoods, you can be out in the deserts. It's pretty cool, just the geography of the place.
No, it is. The problem is, the voters have shown that they're not necessarily looking for solutions. So what do we will just wall off cities and counties?
Or what's happened is the people that have some sense are leaving.
Yeah, that's happened a lot too. You remember back when the great U-Haul, like you couldn't get a U-Haul because all the U-Hauls were going one way from California out?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good time.
Yeah, the problem is that's what happens too. I think we get in a cycle where California is a bigger example, but it happens in cities and all that people get so sick of the bad government. The people that have the ability to leave. Sometimes they move to, you know, far flung suburbs of a place. Sometimes they move to other states when it's the state government's bad as well. And all that does is, it leaves some people stranded who don't have the ability, who don't like it, but don't have the ability to go. But it also increases the number of people that don't care either way about it. And they vote, they keep voting the same idiots in. You know, you lose the people who say, to heck with this, I'm not living like this anymore. And you leave the people who are like cool with it.
Well, I think that's what Spencer Pratt's trying to say, right? Is he's like, hey guys, I had no intention of getting in politics, but I came to the conclusion this person doesn't need to be in charge anymore. And since nobody else wants to run, you know, who's not a raging, also a raging liberal, who's going to continue more of the same, I'm going to run. And obviously it's resonating. The question is, you know, is it resonating for those of us outside looking in, or, you know, can he actually get the voters? But I'm truly hoping, because I think it would be really remarkable to, you know, talk about starting at, like, not even ground zero, but below ground zero, and going, okay, here's what we're going to do. You know, he's already talking about, you know, just shipping people out, cleaning up the homeless, you know, not giving them the hotel rooms, not building, you know, cutting out the middleman of these NGOs making millions. I mean, some of his ideas are just common freaking sense.
There you go. And that's the thing. It doesn't even have to be partisan. It's just common sense. And bring it back home here before we wrap up. As you know, I was going to, and I'll probably get to this next hour, some of the polling out showing in the Senate race, showing Hudson being pretty good here in this polling. But you had to point out to me that I guess this happened, what was it? Did it happen yesterday or
this
today?
Morning?
This morning.
This morning.
Yeah, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth endorsing Barry Moore in this Senate race. That's a. I don't know how much it makes people go vote differently, but it shows, as somebody who has something to lose from that politically, maybe, you know, down the road. Not that he's in office, but that he did that. Does he just support Barry Moore, or does he see some things? The writing's on the wall that this is going to be our next senator.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I looked at it. My first instinct was, okay, he's putting himself on the side of Trump. Like, if Trump loses this race, Ainsworth goes down with him, right? Like, Trump has gone all in on Barry Moore. And so I think people have been afraid to endorse. And I read something about this yesterday. There's almost like a palpable fear of we can't support Jared Hudson, even though we like him publicly, because then we're going against Trump, and that can be used against us later. And so the flip side of that coin is, okay, Trump went all in on Barry Moore, so I'm joining Trump, and if he goes down, I'm going down with his ship.
Yeah, okay, makes sense to me. People want to get more of this conversation. Of course, they can find you online. Where's the easiest place to get at you online?
Easiest place is April Marie on X, APRYLMARIE.
All right, and of course, your work over at 1819news.com. Y'all check it out as well. And hopefully soon, April Marie will be guest hosting around here. Is that?
There you go.
There we go.
Talk
all right,
soon.
Good deal. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Y'all stay right there.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:54 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Again, I was looking at something here about the phone call. Want to get to that. Maybe that'll be the second half of next hour. The Trump and Netanyahu phone call. It's, Jeff mentioned it might be a little bit of trying to right the ship for people that are upset with the U.S. involvement. Feels like, that we're doing Israel's work with Iran. But when this dropped, it's interesting just how things leak and when they leak and all that. So about this phone call, we'll try to get to that next hour. I got to get some text right now. Let's see. Big Enos said, Tupperville takes AIPAC money. That's all I needed to know. Tony said, Sean, it is about Tupperville. It's a great tactic. It keeps the Democrats busy on a faulty narrative. A lot of talking, pushing, and preaching about something that eventually proves they are wrong. I can see that, Tony. But like from my perspective, I just wish it would have been put to bed earlier. It was weird because I felt like, people would lump me in. They're like, you're asking about, you dare wanted to see the information about Tupperville. You must be from the left. I'm like, no. I'd be like that with anybody. Just show me the stuff. And now, cool. Yeah, that's kind of a slam dunk. Here's my tax returns. Let's see. B-Dark. Said, tell April I got a critter story for y'all. My red-bone beagle got her first dove out of the bird bath. Help tell me how to handle that. Well, I don't know. How low is your bird bath or how tall is your beagle? And how slow was the dove? There's a lot of parts of this word problem here I need. So the beagle, so what standard, which inch? The 13s or the beagle gets a dove out of the bird. Usually bird baths are higher up, right? I'm interested, so give me detail. And then said, Sean, thank God I really don't care about Alabama politics. I couldn't sleep. You better care. You better care about Alabama politics. It's so many people stay focused, and it's not bad to also focus on international issues. A big deal for our republic, or what goes on in Washington. Absolutely. But what goes on right here at home is the government that is closest to you, down to your municipal level. Marty said, I agree with you, Sean, about California. People also forget that California feeds this country. A lot of our food supply depends on farms from California. Yep. I mean, if you go through Southern California in the wintertime and look at, you know, now they pump a lot of water that keeps the river almost dry by the end of it. But they absolutely produce a lot of products. It's a beautiful state. I've gone round and round over the years with this. They're like, that's stupid. I wish it would just fall off into the Pacific. I'm like, no. Now, would I like the politics to be different there? Yes. But it's a darn beautiful state to have all the different geography they have. I think we have like that same vibe for east of the Mississippi, right? Because we have the beautiful, we should have more shoreline, but our beautiful 68 miles of shoreline here, you know, beautiful beaches. We have America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw Delta. It's on our state seal, all the rivers coming through. At the same time, we have the mountains. We have the caves. We have some remnant prairie, some areas in the Black Belt in the north. We have great diversity in our geography here. But California, they got it too. Michael says, I blame any of the so-called good folks in California that stay. Even the Bible says there's a point of no return to sanity when their minds are given over to depravity. That is California to a T. All right. Coming right back. Pay attention. Dr. James Arruda is my guest. This is going to be a good one to talk about.